here's an example of how girls balance in a very, very interesting way, balance the needs to actually oppose each other and be aggressive, and yet also to create their friendships. This is a study that was published in 1988 by Linda Hughes. She studied girls playing a game they called Foursquare. The social injunction to be nice and not mean was actually at odds with the object of the game, because the object of the game was to eliminate players who are then replaced by other players who are waiting to get in. The girls resolved this conflict by claiming that their motivation in eliminating players was really to enable other players, their friends, to enter the game. So when a girl was about to hit the ball hard, which would get another girl out, they would call out to one of their friends who's next in line, "I'm going to get you in." In their terms, this was what they called nice mean. So they were mean by getting somebody out, but they were nice by getting somebody in. And incidentally, this dynamic was also supported by my own analysis of sixth grade girls' conversations. Most of their talk was devoted to allying themselves with each other in opposition to another girl who was not present. So their cooperation with each other also entailed a kind of power or opposition in opposition to a girl who wasn't there. And this is what's behind, I think, a lot of the books that are coming out about how girls are mean. The point of these examples is to show that we can't correlate verbal aggression simply with hierarchy. And we can't correlate verbal cooperation simply with the connection dimension. Verbal aggression is ambiguous. It can be a way of creating either hierarchy or connection, and it can be polysemous. In other words, you can create hierarchy and connection at the same time. I want to turn now to a linguistic strategy that is probably my all-time favorite, and that's the topic of interruption. One of the most frequently cited findings and one of the earliest findings of differences in how women and men use language was the finding that men interrupt women more often than women interrupt men, and that this is one of the many ways that men can be seen to dominate women in everyday life. Candace West at the University of California at Santa Cruz has shown this to be true in casual conversation and also in doctor-patient interaction, where she found that female doctors were more often interrupted by male patients than male doctors were. It's interesting, though, that two scholars, Deborah James and Sandra Clark, surveyed a whole range of research on gender and interruption that spanned the years 1965 to 1991. They discovered that most studies of mixed-sex interactions did not find significant differences between women and men in terms of who interrupted whom. Though of studies of all-female versus all-male conversations, a few actually found more interruption among the women and others found more interruption among the men. The most important finding of James and Clark emphasized the need to distinguish linguistic strategies by their interactional purpose. Was the purpose of the overlap or interruption to show support for the speaker, or was it to contradict the change in topic? The reason this is such a favorite topic of mine is that my own research before I entered the field of language and gender was focused on regional style differences. And the first book that I wrote was about New York conversational style as compared to California conversational style. I called one style high involvement, that was the style of the New York speakers, and the other high considerateness, that was the style of the California speakers. One of the patterns that I uncovered in that original research was that frequently speakers of New York City background, or this also would be true of speakers of many other parts of the world, speakers who have what I call a high involvement style frequently talked along with each other, or a listener talked along with a speaker, as a way of showing enthusiastic listenership. You don't want your listener to sit there like a bump on a log. You don't want to have to keep prodding them to see if they're still awake. The listener talks along with the speaker to show enthusiastic listenership. It's a high involvement linguistic strategy. But when the New York City speakers use this talking along strategy with the California speakers often thought that they were being interrupted. and they stopped. So the interruption was really not the creation of the New York speaker who began speaking. It was just as much the creation of the California speaker who stopped. So before we know how to interpret an interruption, we have to know the style of the person who is speaking and whether their intention is to take the floor away or simply to show enthusiastic listenership. Talking along with someone else can be ambiguous. It could mean you're trying to show your connection, or it could mean you're trying to do a power play, or it can be polysemous. It could be both. If we all agree that we're going to talk over each other and talk at the same time, then we are both being competitive but also showing connection at the same time.